Anyhow, Christina.
Yes.
We're gonna get to know you a little bit better. Oh, the boss just arrived. Don't let that intimidate you in any way. We want completely honest and frank and open answers to all of our inquisitional questions here. She's looking a little nervous, looking around. So tell us where you're a third year student, is that right?
I'm going into my third year at Concordia. I'm studying in the journalism program. There's a few different avenues I can take, but I guess the more narrow path that I'm in is multi-platform journalism, which consists of radio, television, and textual practice. So I get to learn a little bit of radio, a little bit of television, and you know, the basic writing skills. Yes. So it's a pretty good overview of everything. And we're doing some multimedia stuff as well. And there's all kinds of interesting courses. And so far, I've been really liking it. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And seemingly thriving so far from what I've seen of your writing skills. Quite impressive. Textual practice. Is that what you said? Textual?
That's what we refer to it as. It basically means
instead
print.
Of saying print?
Yeah, pretty much. That's like the fancy way of putting it.
Yes, yes. I think people don't want to say print anymore just because of what's happening to newspapers across around the world kind of thing.
Yeah, because that sort of encompasses online as well, right? Which is still, I guess, in a sense, print. It's still writing.
Sure.
So,
yeah, lots of text online.
It's just a little bit different, I guess.
But I actually think people are actually have more advanced keyboarding skills and texting skills than they did 20 years ago because of online, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you really don't have I don't think they have sort of typing or keyboarding classes at schools anymore because pretty much all the
sort
students
sort of ingrained from birth.
That's right.
Nowadays,
they arrive knowing their way around a keyboard already. Yeah. You know,
I've
it's quite
like 5-year-olds with cell phones and all these things.
It's quite impressive. So give us just a very quick overview of what a journalism course sort of looks like in this day and age. I mean, you know, the discipline has really morphed and changed and evolved, especially over the last 10 to 15 years, maybe. And I'm sure, you know, colleges and universities are really struggling to keep up and stay ahead of the curve in that discipline in particular. So give us an overview of where the emphasis is placed. I mean, you've already given us an idea that online has really taken an important position, I guess, in the curriculum.
Absolutely. I mean, I think part of it too is just learning those basic skills as well. Like we still harp on, you know, learning how to write and learning how to report on radio and television. And I think those skills are still fundamental. It's just sort of using them and turning them into something even bigger than that. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, finding a way to tell a story in multiple different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, you know, sort of a print piece, you know, you think about how you can take that online. How can you expand it? You know, do you add a photo slideshow? Do you add a video to accompany it? Do you add, you know, some sound bites here and there? And our curriculum has changed quite a bit, although I'm kind of in the year that's sort of before all these changes happen, so it doesn't really include me, but from what I've heard, you know, certain classes will be sort of changing and morphing. For instance, our normal radio newsroom class is now becoming more of a podcasting type of class to sort of adhere to what's, you know,
popular
the flow of what's going on, you know, in the world. Yeah.
And how do they define a podcast? What's your definition of a podcast from what you've gleaned from your courses?
I mean, I guess from what I've learned, it's sort of just, you know, storytelling in a different way. I think radio is a bit more fast paced, but podcasting, you can kind of put in different sound effects. It's more playful. It's a bit more artsy, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
And there's more breather room for just, you know, sitting down and having a chat with someone and really getting to know them as opposed to just like zipping in for an interview for 2 minutes and then you're off the air type thing. So it's a really different way of looking at it. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's more real, it's more authentic. At least that's how it feels to me. And I think that's sort of the way that journalism is going.
Interesting. I was really pleased to hear you use the word storytelling because that's what it really boils down to ultimately, right? Regardless of the platform or, you know, whatever medium you're taking in your content, good storytelling always rises to the top. And I guess the challenge is to tailor the storytelling style to the particular medium that you're on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they're still using the phrase storytelling at Concordia. That's good,
or at least I do.
Good to hear. Just getting back to podcasts again for a second, how much of the definition of podcast has to do with its modal form or delivery platform? Like, is it necessarily on demand, for example, a podcast? available, like so downloadable or streamable on demand, as opposed to something that you would tune into live the way radio traditionally used to be.
I think the way it works now, at least with a lot of different podcasts that exist, you know, a lot of people will have a SoundCloud account where they put it on, and then people will sort of anticipate, okay, the podcast comes out every day at so-and-so time. And then you sort of look forward to it that way, but it's not so much live as, you know, podcasts are usually pre-recorded.
Yes.
So I think that's a little bit different, but I think there's still that sort of, you know, there's a time and place for it too. It's not just sort of a random thing. I think that's how you sort of keep your listeners in, is when they sort of know when to tune in.
Yes, to get the latest episode.
So there's still that aspect there, but it's not so much on the spot delivery. And I think it's a little less pressure maybe for the journalists as well, right?
It's interesting. So it's a bit of a hybrid of the two, of the old radio world and the convenience of having something on demand. We sort of strive to do that on Van Cleek FM. Pretty much all of our shows are available as podcasts after the fact. You can go on our website, vancleekfm.com, and you can see the different tabs. There are featured interviews, and there's Revision Radio and Let Her Speak, and all of the previous shows are available there in some kind of podcast form or archival form. But we do have a kind of on-air schedule that we try to stick to, where Live at 6 comes on the air every Wednesday at 6 o'clock or pretty close to it. And Van Cleek Cooley comes on at 8, that kind of thing. So it's a bit of a hybrid. And I think we're trying to appeal to both kinds of listeners, the people that like to hear a scheduled presentation, and other people that like to have the convenience of go and get it whenever they want to.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's good to hear that we're sort of fitting into the Concordia definition.
Yeah, I think so,
absolutely. So what are some of your favorite moments from your past couple of years at Concordia?
Oh, that's a great question. I've really enjoyed the radio classes, actually, funnily enough, that I'm on the radio right now. I did a course this past semester, which is called Radio Newsroom, which has now become the podcasting course.
Okay.
But essentially how that worked is we were a group of 12, I believe, and we would have to produce 2 radio shows a week. So we'd be essentially breaking the news that would be on air like at 8 o'clock, you know, and we'd have to produce 17 minutes of radio time
altogether.
And what was really great though is that the way my professor sort of arranged it is we had different positions. So there'd be like host, sportscaster, you know, someone who would do a live hit, that kind of a thing. And the positions would rotate every week.
Oh,
so we'd
excellent.
Each get a taste of all the positions. You know, we weren't just stuck on the host gig for, you know, if you kind of hated that or liked it, you know, it would come around again, or you'd have to do it just once or twice. So it was kind of cool to sort of see what you liked and what you didn't like.
What were your favorite positions?
For me, entertainment for sure, because I'm a little bit of an arts nerd and a music nerd.
Okay,
so that was a lot of fun. But I also really liked hosting, surprisingly. It wasn't something that I thought I would be fit for, but the more I did it, the more I really enjoyed it. So
not surprising to me. I'm having trouble fitting a word in edgewise here. You're sort of taking over the whole show. I could just walk away right now, and I'm sure things would just sail along swimmingly.
I'm not sure about that, but...
Tell me, did you get a chance to do what we used to call way back when streeters? Have you done sort of?
We did, yeah. And that was kind of the dreaded position for most people, because you'd sort of just go up to students on campus and they'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about, or like, no, I don't want to answer that.
You thrust a recorder in their face and try to get a comment?
Be like, can I ask you a question? And then you pull out the recorder and they're like, oh, never mind. It's like, it was quite something. I dreaded those days when I had to do the streeters, but we had to do them whether we liked it or not.
Yes.
And it was a good experience nonetheless. Know, get your nerves out of the way. Yeah. And
even if it takes 10 tries before you get the one or two comments, usually you get some pretty nice pieces of tape.
For and God forbid you're actually recording. That's another issue that happens with the Eddie rolls.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Sounds like all the good old traditional skills of radio are still being taught, plus the challenges of the new internet world and social media and new media and all that mixed into the mix as well. Very interesting. Okay, and I know you've only been here for a very short period of time, but how are you finding the newsroom at the review so far? You can be frank and honest, even though Louise is sitting there watching you with a stern face.
I've been genuinely enjoying it. It's pretty fast-paced, and there's always stuff to do, but I kind of like that about it. You know, you kind of just get a taste for everything, and there's no limits, which is what I like. Sometimes you're thrusted into newsrooms, and they kind of just put you in a corner and say, okay, well, you're just writing briefs.
You're doing obits for the rest
of
the summer.
You know, so it's kind of good that you actually get to go out and cover lots of stuff. I've already done tons and tons of articles, which is amazing and beyond, you know, what I'd expected. So yeah. I have no complaints.
Oh, that's good to hear. Yeah. Well, I watched you perform Under Pressure yesterday because it was a holiday
was a bit
this week.
Yeah. If you'd asked me yesterday, I might have had a different answer to that question.
No, but you stood up quite nicely under pressure and you just kept on pumping out the pages. And,
I tried.
with a good sense of humor maintained throughout the day. So I would say you passed the acid test yesterday. That was that was a really good first trial for a young internist coming in off the street kind of thing. So
yeah.
I would say you passed with flying colors.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard and looking forward to having you hopefully on a regular basis on the radio and also as a part of the Reviews news team and get people to watch for your byline, Christina Sanza, in the coming editions of the Review this summer. Thanks, Christina, for coming on the air with us this evening as well.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.